Now, if you would, go ahead and take your Bibles and go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to read verse 7. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. Isn't it exciting to hear about missionaries and what's going on there? Amen. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. Let's go ahead and stand as we read the Word of God this evening, and if we could read that verse, verse 7 of chapter 11 all together. So Hebrews 11, 7, ready? By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now let's pray. Father, I do thank you for today, and Lord, we do thank you for the report that we've heard from the missionaries both this morning and this evening, and people accepting Christ, people giving their lives to you and wanting to find a good, solid, doctrinal church. And I just pray that you continue to bless there. But Lord, we do need you to meet with us tonight. There is no sense in them being as strong as what they are, and then we lose it here. So I pray that you'd help us and strengthen us to be able to hear the Word of God this evening. Help our faith be increased so that we can stand strong for the truth, as Pastor was talking about this morning. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us and guide us to be able to stand by that truth and keep the truth straight and not move the line. But Lord, I just pray that you'd help us be able to hear the Word of God. And please feel preach with your powers that brings a message to us tonight. And Lord, we'll give you honor glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. May be seated.
All right. As we've been going through Sunday nights and talking about the foundation of faith for a godly home, I want to look at verse number 7 of Hebrews chapter 11. Of course, the last few weeks we've been talking about Moses and the faith of his parents and the faith of Moses. But tonight, the faith of Noah. As you look in verse number 7, it says the saving of his house. That means his family. When the Titanic set sail on April 10th of 1912, it was called an unsinkable ship. Those who sailed on it, they had confidence in this great ship. It had watertight doors. And of course, now we look back to the engineering and the failures there. They did not go all the way up to the top. They only went up to the waterline. There was even reports of one worker or builder of the ship that made the statement, not even God could sink it. And of course, now we now know that you don't make that kind of statement. We see that there was a carefree spirit or attitude on this ship until there was sudden calamity. Now, there was many classes. You got first class, middle class, and third class passengers on this boat. But after the calamity happened, that didn't matter. There was only two classes of people. There was saved and lost. That's it. That's all that mattered once the ship started going down. And so, of course, my wife, in her humor this week, as we were literally waiting for the water to come in our front door, put all of our instruments up on the table, and so she wanted to play Nearer My God to Thee, because that's what the band played on the deck of the Titanic when it was sinking. So as our house was going down, she decided to play that. You know, in our world today, I kind of look at our world as the Titanic, or a picture of the Titanic. There's people going about their daily life. They're without a worry, without a care. They could care less about the future. They could care less about God. They could care less about their salvation or their destiny. There are only going to be two types of people, the saved and the lost. And so the stark difference between the Titanic and Noah's Ark is that one is a picture of the world and one's a picture of faith. And with that, it's vitally important that we do everything in our power as parents to get our children out of the world, off the Titanic, in the sense they're on a collision course and with trouble. But as we try to prepare, and we look at what Noah did, prepared for over 120 years, preached and taught the coming wrath of God, and was mocked and ridiculed, spent building this great ark with his sons, with the faith of saving his household, his family. And so with that, I want to look at verse number 7 once again, and it says, by faith Noah. And of course we hear that's the same thing that was said about Moses, the same way that verse 23 starts, the same way that it talks about in regards to Moses' parents, his mother and father. But Moses was reared by faith. So we see that he was able to forsake all the things, the riches and the pleasures that Egypt had to offer. He was raised as a young boy by his parents by faith. And there is only one way to raise a successful family in the days in which we live, and that is by faith. Noah's faith was a working faith. And Noah, by faith, the Bible says, he prepared an ark. Faith isn't sitting around doing nothing, just saying, you know what, well, what will be, will be. I'm just sitting here on my blessed assurance, putting my faith in God. No, faith is belief with legs on it. Faith is working. Faith is doing. Faith isn't just sitting around saying, well, you know, it is what it is. Noah's faith was a working faith. Noah's faith was a waiting faith. For 120 years, Noah was building this ark for the wrath of God, in which was going to come. Every time that hammer would ring and would pound, or that hammer would pound that nail, it would ring out a sound in the background that God's wrath was coming. He did this because he had been warned by God, as we see in verse number 7. And his faith was based on the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the New Testament talks about faith. And Romans 10, 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Moses had been told by God and had heard the Word of God, and his faith was based on God's Word, which is where our faith needs to be today. It doesn't need to be off of what we hear off of Oprah or Dr. Phil. It doesn't need to be what we hear on the news, or what some politician promises us or lies through their teeth. They're all of the same. I love the little joke, you know, how a lawyer or a politician's lying, their lips are moving. Sometimes it's sad to say, but it just seems that way, that they'll say whatever you want to hear so that they'll get in office. But Moses, his faith was based on God's Word that cannot lie. And it was a divine revelation that caused Noah to do what he did. And we will not have the faith for our families until we hear from God. That's why it's so important, men, that we are the spiritual leaders of the home, that we hear from God, and that we stay in the Word of God, and we stay faithful to the preaching of the Word of God, so that we can have the faith that our family needs, so that we can be the spiritual leader of the home. Noah's faith was willing to stand alone. As I mentioned this morning, it's going to come a time where we will have to stand alone. And Noah was willing to do that for over 120 years, all by himself with his three sons, was able to continue serving the Lord. Noah looked upon as being strange and weird. Of course, they all mocked it. Rain, a flood, what are you talking about? What's this water from the sky? That's not how it works, Noah. It comes from the ground. Don't you know that? And Noah was mocked and ridiculed, and they would just come out and say, hey, what do you want to do today? Hey, let's go watch Noah build this big monstrosity of a boat in the middle of dry ground. And they would mock him, and he was looked at as being odd. And people would come. Let me tell you, people would come and say the same thing about us today. The world is saying the same thing about Christians today, that we want to serve the Lord, and that we want to do what's right, and we want to live a holy life, and we want to serve God. And they might say, serve a God that you've never seen, that you have no reward yet, but you're going to have it in eternity. Oh, that's nonsense. We came from monkeys. We appeared. We are self-governing, self-power, self-created, as they might have in their humanistic mindset, and they might ridicule. But Noah did not try to fit in. Noah wasn't like most Christians today that just want to be accepted in the crowd, that want to be accepted in the majority, but yet he was willing to stand alone. Let me tell you, if we're going to live by faith, we must be different. We must be willing to stand alone. His faith did not appear depend upon appearances. Based upon appearance, there was no reason to ever believe that there would be a flood. If the scientist or the of his day, or the meteorologist of his day, were to look and say, based on the facts, what you're saying is never going to happen. To our knowledge, as we look at Scripture, it had never rained on the earth before that time. Genesis chapter 2, verse 6 says, "But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground." The mist that came up from the earth, that's how the plants got its water. It did not have the downpours. They didn't know what we know today as living in Florida. But with that, there was not this. It didn't depend on the circumstances. He was willing to stand alone. He wasn't trying to fit in, and he didn't go by what everyone was saying. There up to that point, there had never been a universal calamity, or the sense of a tragedy to that point. There had been no such thing as a suggested as a flood. There was nothing but clear skies. I remember my son said yesterday, he looked up and he said, "Man, it's just kind of weird to look up in the sky and it's all blue. There's not one cloud in sight." I'm thinking, well, the ground, the sky has no moisture left in it. It's dry. We got it all. But nothing but people were buying, they were selling, they were marrying, they were given in marriage. Matthew chapter 24, verse 38, it says, "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark." What is that verse saying? It's saying before the flood, people in the world, didn't have a care in the world. All they cared about is what made them happy, and doing, living their lives, and could care less about what was coming. But yet Noah was different. He was living by faith. Oh, we need men of faith today. Noah, we see in verse number 7, it says, "And by faith Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear." There are two kinds of fear. There is the fear of the world. In Moses' life, in the life of Moses, Amram and Jochebed, they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They didn't let the fear of this world keep them from honoring what God had given them, a baby boy, and understanding that life is precious. Even though they were commanded to abort their son, they refused and denied to do that. They did not have the fear of the world. Young Moses was not afraid to stand up to Pharaoh and his household, to turn his back on them to serve the Lord. Amram and Jochebed did not have fear of this world because they had the fear of God in their lives. We must have the fear of God in our homes once again. The fear of God to not break His commandments, to not laugh and make a joke of sin. And Noah was moved with fear. Have you ever been moved with fear? I know I have. I know there's the fear of the world and there's the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom, the Bible says in Psalms 111, verse 10. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. So with that, the fear of God does not mean that we're shocked, that we're dismayed or overwhelmed by the thought of God, that we cower, when we think about the Lord. The fear of God is love on its knees. You know, fear does motivate us. I know fear motivated me as a young boy to salvation. I realized I didn't want to burn in a place called hell for eternity. Some might say they were saved out of love. I was saved out of fear. I didn't want to spend eternity in hell. I wanted to accept Jesus Christ. That sounded like a better alternative. And I put my faith and trust in Him. You know, faith or fear will motivate us sometimes for preparation. Fear of a storm, but we'll go through and we'll do everything we can. We'll fill our gas cans. Why? Because the fear of being stuck without power, the fear without being stuck without water or air conditioning. Well, we'll do things and we'll prepare. And that's what Noah did. He was a man preparing for what was to come. And sometimes fear will motivate us to perspiration. That means running. If there's something scary, guess what? We're gone. If you haven't seen it, you'll have to go ask my wife. My daughters were taking advantage of our flooded street this week and being newscasters. And they did a better job than most of the ones on TV. But my daughter felt something on her leg and in the middle of her little interview screamed and ran. And, fear motivated her. And she was running. Sometimes fear will cause us to move. But we see that fear does motivate, and it should. But people live their lives based on fear every day. We fear starvation, so what do? We eat. We fear catching a cold, so what do? We wear an overcoat or a sweater. You fear being cold in church, so you bring a blanket. You fear someone breaking into your home, so what do? You lock your doors. You fear being hit by a car when you cross the road. So what do? You look both ways. You look twice. You know, we exercise self-preservation every day in many different ways. But the greatest danger that we can face is the wrath of God against our sins and unbelief. Therefore, any person is wise to be moved by fear or with fear to get right with God. You say, well, I just don't think it's the, you know, I feel like I got to be in the right setting or the right place to get right with God. No, you better get right with God wherever you're at. You may not have another opportunity to think the wrath of God. You know, the Bible says that God chastens His own. Before God comes down to whoop me, I better take that opportunity to get right with Him. There are fears in life that are very, very healthy, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. To get right with Him. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 28 says, "And fear not them which kill the body." Who can kill the body? Man, the government, the king. "But are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy the soul, both soul and body, in hell." Well, we need to have a fear of God today. I believe we have strayed from the truth. We've strayed from the Word of God. We've strayed from preaching and teaching the Word of God to others and seeking for others to be saved, because there's a lack of a fear of God in our homes and in our lives. There is something to be warned about, and Noah was moved with fear. Noah not only did this, but he did this in his foresight. Noah didn't wait until it began to rain. Noah didn't say, you know what, well, one day I'll get busy, you know, when it gets a little closer. No, he started preparing for the ark right away. And he had foresight. He made preparations. You cannot prepare for eternity when you get there. Young folks, you say, well, I'm going to prepare for my life and I'm going to make decisions in my life later on when I become an adult. No, you got to start preparing for life now. Parents, we've got to understand, we've got to start preparing our children for life now. We've got to start teaching them life lessons now. We've got to start helping them grow in their faith now. Because when they become teenagers, when they become young adults, it's going to be too late. When they need to make those vital decisions in their life, they need to have a walk with God now. I said this for years as a youth pastor to our teenagers. Don't wait to get to college or don't wait till you get married. Say, I'll start reading my Bible and I'll have a walk with God, because that's something for adults. No, it's something for every child of God. Whether you're 7 or 77 or 107, it's our job to have a walk with God. So regardless of your age, start preparing for life now. And as we continue to help our homes grow in faith, understand, parents, it's our job to have that foresight to prepare our children for the future. We have a generation today that makes no preparations for the future. I can see that as we're giving billions and billions of dollars away like it's free to print. We're not preparing for the future. Market can only handle that for so long before it collapses. And financial ruin. And it almost kind of thinks that those in power and in leadership want that to happen. You say, Pastor, are you scared? No, because the Bible says it's going to happen. I'm just, if nothing else, it just strengthens my faith to see everything unfolding in our eyes that God already said would happen. We get to live in the day and age where we're seeing it happen before our eyes. Once again, just strengthens my faith to know that what God said is true. But we have a generation that makes no preparations for the future. Jesus gave us this passage in the remarks of the last days in Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 37. It says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Jesus said, just like the men and women of Noah's day could care less of what was going on. They were too busy pleasing themselves and being satisfied with the things of this world. That's what it's going to be like when the Son of Man comes. When Jesus comes again, we're going to live in a day and age where people are only going to be only caring about eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. We also see, as Jesus warned us, what were those marks in Noah's day? There are three marks that we see in Noah's day that we see are the same things in our generation today. Number one, there was indifference. Indifference. Life was just going to go on. They did not care. Moses had warned them. Moses had preached about it, but they could care less. We live in a generation where those have warned about the truth and warned about the coming judgment of God, but people could care less. You could go out on the street corner and preach your heart out and scream till you had no more breath about God's judgment coming and salvation, how important it is to be in each and every heart, and people could walk by and care less about what you have to say. You could, that's why the Bible says, cast not your pearls before swine, but not take the thing which is so precious and throw it before those that are just going to use it to mock God, make fun of God. Boy, we see that people could care less about what's going on in our world. As long as they get their favorite TV show, as long as they get to get their college bill paid for, they could care less how it happens. We live in a day of indifference. Not only was this in Noah's day and in our day, but it was also, number two, immorality. Immorality. They were the way that they were living their lives. It it turned God's stomach to the point he was ready to destroy the entire world. He had seen everything that he had created, but because of how wicked man had become and the immorality that was in the day of Noah, he said, you know what? They're living their lives. They're doing as they please. I'm going to destroy it. The very same thing that Jesus said is going to be as in the end times is the same thing we see today. You can't help but watch in any kind of, even on the news, you'll see commercials that'll come up with immorality in it. Drive down the road and you'll see billboards with immorality. You go to the grocery store to buy groceries to keep your family fed and you'll see things of immorality on the magazine racks near the checkout. Boy, you have a cell phone or a computer. Boy, there's immorality. You turn on any television. Think about the television shows that used to be 30, 40 years ago and the shows that we have today. Boy, immorality is rampant in our world today, and not just in the world, it's rampant in the churches. It's rampant in our homes. It's rampant amongst our men and our young men as they're addicted to pornography. There is immorality as there's a sense of I can do what I please. Not only was there immorality, there was number three, ignorance. Ignorance. They didn't want to know. Matthew chapter 24, look at verse number 39. It says, and knew not until the flood came. So here they are, drinking and eating and marrying and giving to marriage. They're just doing whatever pleases them until the rain came. Then guess what? Reality check set in. But by then it was too late. They knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. People are ignorant about what's coming. People are ignorant about what is going on behind the scenes and the use of vaccination passports and microchips and all the things in which a one world currency and even those in the spiritual realm trying to push for a one world religion. Oh, we just see it's all of the Antichrist to set up what the book of Revelation has promised is going to happen. People are ignorant about what's going on, and those that are pushing their ideas and agenda on the rest of society. But people don't want to know. As I said this morning, people don't want to know the truth. They're happy to be ignorant. They're happy to live in their bliss. But yet these three marks in Noah's day are the classic three marks we see in our generation today. Noah's family. In verse number 7, it says, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Acts chapter 11, turn there if you would. Acts chapter 11, we're going to look at a couple verses. Noah prepared an ark by which the means saved his house, saved his family. Acts chapter 11, verse 13, it says, and he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Understanding, I'm not saying that one person gets saved, your whole house is saved. That's not what I mean. The household of faith does not mean that we can believe for our children. But what it does mean is, mom and dad, when we live by faith, we are instilling and growing into our children a faith of their own to trust and to serve God. And that when we stray from God, not only are we pulling ourselves away from God, but we're also pulling away our children. See, it breaks my heart when people grow up being taught right and being educated right in church and in the Word of God. And for one reason or another, they become bitter or backslidden and angry, and they run from church and they run from God. And they don't take themselves alone. They take their children, and their children grow up in an environment in which doesn't know the Lord. And they suffer. Understanding our faith, it impacts those around us. Or our lack of faith also impacts those around us. We see that those that had faith and trusted in God, not only did that faith save them, but that faith also was spread over to their family, and the rest of their family trusted the Lord and were saved. Look at Acts chapter 16, verse number 15. We need to have some foresight and need to make preparation and understanding. We need to be concerned for our children. We need to make sure that they're aboard the ark of safety, and that is faith. That they're saved, that they know God, that they trust God, that they love God, that they serve God. Verse number 15 says, and when she was baptized, and her household. Well, we've got to understand our faith is very important, Mom and Dad, because it very well could be the faith that our children continue. That as we pass the baton, as we continue to take what God has given us and we relay it and build it in our children, that is going to be how they continue to live their life. It's important that we set a foundation of faith. Look at verse number 30 of Acts 16. And brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt believe, and thine house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he sat meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with what? All his house. Oh, we need faith in our homes. Mom and Dad, your children need to see you live by faith. No doubt that all of those that were saved in these homes was because of the result of Dad's faith, of Mom's faith. What is it? What struggle, what battle is it that your child is going to go through? And the only way that they can endure, the only way they're going to continue on, is going to be the faith that we give them or show them or instill in them. Understand, the time that we have with our children is very short. We must do everything we can. Time is precious to instill faith. Even when God commanded the children of Israel to teach their children while they were sitting, while they were walking along the way, while they lie down. What does that mean? We should be teaching our children constantly. It means while we're driving in the car, there's an opportunity for us to teach our children to have faith, to teach them about God and trusting in God. While we're sitting at the doctor's office, while they go to sleep, you know what? Your child will listen to you as long as you talk when it's bedtime. There's an opportunity to instruct. They'll say, "Talk, don't tell me some more." Anything to keep them up past bedtime. Boy, there's the greatest opportunity to help teach them to have faith. Oh, it's our responsibility, parents, that we have a household of faith. Noah got his family into the ark. We need to be concerned for our children that they're all aboard the ark of safety. Psalms 37, verse 11 says, "But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." You know, Noah became the heir of righteousness because of his faith. It wasn't because of his great woodworking skills. It wasn't because he built such a wonderful ship that didn't sink. No, it was because of his faith, as we see in verse number 7. And became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah had a great fortune in other ways. The world might have looked and said, you know what, Noah, you while other people were buying and selling and marrying and giving in marriage, Noah was over there building an ark. You ever built something? It's expensive. It's taxing to build anything. And perhaps Noah put everything he had into this ark. Perhaps that he might have been bankrupt as he was nailing his last nail into that boat. But according to this world, Noah and his family, they went into that ark a pauper. Poor, broke, bankrupt. But you know what? When Noah came out of the ark, guess what? The world was his. It was all his. He owned the world, so to speak. And this, and the main thing is not the real estate that he had, but that he was an heir of righteousness. You know, the things that really mattered to Noah, they were all gained by faith. What really matters to you? Young person tonight, what really matters to you? So, oh, you know, I get a car, or I get a job, or I get this, or I get that. What really mattered to Noah was gained by faith. Mom and Dad, what really matters to you? Is it that your children serve the Lord? Honor the Lord with their lives? You know, the Bible talks about the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. That her children will call her blessed. Why, how is that? Because as a parent, she lived by faith. Oh, we need faith in our homes today. Something that is lacking. Something that people could care less about. Oh, I've got faith in God, preacher. I've trusted Him for salvation. Yeah. Well, the Bible also says, faith without works is dead. You can have faith in Jesus Christ for salvation and have a dead faith. Because if it's not growing, it's not alive. We are to continue to grow and to nurture our faith and our trust in God, and understanding the importance that we have as parents to instill faith into our children, to train up a child in the way he should go. Noah wasn't a perfect man. His children weren't perfect people. No one is. But we see he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Because he was a man of faith. What is it? What trials, what troubles, what things do we see as is saying, you know what, there's just no way we can do this. There's just no way. Why don't we step out by faith and trust God? Why don't we step out by faith and serve God? And it's time to get busy serving God instead of just talking about it or thinking about it. Because faith is belief with legs on it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Hebrews chapter 11 and those that were quoted. Not as perfect people. Many of them had their faults recorded in the Word of God. But Lord, they were all individuals that did something great by faith. But Lord, we'd be a people of faith, a church of faith, and have homes of faith, that we would continue to trust God, continue to live our lives giving glory and honor and service unto you. But Lord, we'll understand this life. It's not about the things in which we acquire or put in our garage, or the amount of money we have in our bank account, or the prestige or the position in which the world says is important or is deemed as a success. But Lord, that we live by faith, that we trust you, that we hold to your word, and that we serve faithfully to your precious cause, and understanding that there is a time coming where we can serve no more. that there is a time coming when those around us can no longer have the opportunity to put their faith and trust in Christ if they've rejected him. That we take this opportunity now to share it with each and every one that we can. That, Lord, it would be said that we too, by faith, served you. That, Lord, we want to honor you. We want to glorify you in everything that we do and say. And Lord, I don't want to do anything under my power. I don't want to do anything under my strength, my wisdom, because, Lord, time and time again, the times that I have, oh, how I've fallen right on my face. But, Lord, I need you. My children need you. This church needs you. That, Lord, we'll live by faith and trust your word and stand firmly upon it and continue, even though we cannot see, as those in Scripture had not received yet the promise but yet believed, that, Lord, we'll trust you and continue to serve you until we do see you face to face. Lord, by faith, you will be glorified and honored in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you would stand with me, if the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart, would you come? As the piano begins to play, the time of invitations open. How about it? Mom and Dad, are we doing what we can to instill faith into our children? To have a home that is driven by faith? Or is it driven by greed and selfishness, contempt, arguing and bickering? Pride. How about it, men? Are we leading our homes as a man of faith? By example? Whatever the need may be, would you come? Amen. We're going to go ahead and be dismissed. Don't forget, Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, Bible study. We'll continue in 1 Corinthians. Then Friday, teen activity, 5 to 9, and the cost will be $5. And hopefully it won't rain like our last activity did. But we look forward to seeing you here, teenagers. And then Saturday, soul winning at 10. So busy week. Of course, many of you still... there might be cleanup either at work or at home still from the hurricane. So if you do have a need, please let us know or know of someone that does, and we'll continue. I do have some folks asking. So if it's someone you directly to know, personally, that we can be a blessing and help to, especially if it's something like cleanup, we could send a crew over. And help do what we can to be a blessing to someone during this time. So we're going to close, "Since I Have Been Redeemed."
Since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, I will glory in his name. Since I have been redeemed. I will glory in my Savior's name.